Good morning.
Today's daf in Yevamos daf Nun Zayin. We find ourselves back in Involvement Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf of Lenin Zeichon Ishmael Slow Lupin Zaltzman. Bia Grua, the inferior bias that are described in the Mishnah. You look back in the Mishnah and give them a base. The Mishnah gives a list of types of bia which are not 100%. They're lacking in bia either in terms of the kavan, in terms of the mindset. Right, the Mishnah gives a whole series of examples of shogeg, onis, mezid, where they're not, just simply not the right mindset. Or the other possible problem is that physically it's not a bia gemur, it's not a total bia, it's a partial bia, it's a bia shelo kedarka. Either way, the Mishnah describes in any one of these situations, the yavama engage in such a bia, and that's it. The Mishnah says kone, it's a kinyan. He has acquired his wife. The marriage has been consummated, meaning that with all the benefits of Yibum. The Gemara in the top of Nunvav Amud Aleph. We started the Machlokas already, but let's just start it again, just to get us back to the beginning of to reset the Sugya. So the Mishnah, we're all the way on the top of the Yom Nunvav Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Echad Amar Ve'echad HaGomer Kona, whether one performs Ma'ara, which is the partial Bia, or the Gomer, or the complete Bia, either way you're Kona, my Kona, Rav Amar Kona Lekol. So Rav's position is easy, and it's Kona Lekol, meaning, well, what else is there to talk about? Kenyan means that you've acquired. In other words, it's a full acquisition. And the status between the Yavam and the Yavama now is husband and wife, with all the responsibilities and benefits of being husband and wife. Shmuel Amar Lo Kona Elo Dvar Mamor Beparsha. And Shmuel says, no, it's a limited kinyan. The kinyan that's created through the bia grua, through the inferior bia, is anything that's mentioned in the parsha of Yibum, which is Leirash. He's going to inherit all the possessions of his brother, Leirash Menechse Achiv, Ulapotra Mena Yibum, and also to excuse her from the mitzvah of Yibum. Rashi goes on to explain, we did this Rashi yesterday, that if this man were to die and he had children from another marriage, so then Mutasa Shuk, so then she'd be allowed to marry whomever she wants. So in other words, vis-a-vis these halachas of Yibum, so the kinyan has been solidified. But it's a limited kinyan, and vis-a-vis other things, there's not a kinyan. What other things is the Gemara making reference to? So as we pointed out yesterday, truma, meaning we know that if a kohen marries a woman, as long as the marriage is a legitimate marriage, so now she's entitled to eat truma. She's what we refer to, you'll hear this term a lot over the course of today, kinyan kaspo. She is an acquisition of his. Okay, we're not objectifying, it's just simply that's the terminology. So she's kinyan kaspo, so so by right she now is allowed to eat truma. However, Shmuel's of the opinion that in the event that a bia grua is done between Yavam and Yavama, so vis-a-vis all the halachas of Yavamos, so that is in force. But the other privileges of marriage are not yet enforced until you do a bia gemura. That is Shmuel's position. And the Gemara now goes on to qualify the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So we're going to have two versions of this discussion coming up in the Gemara. This is version number one. Mina nisun l'divrei kol achla. So the Gemara says, look, if, let's say, her first marriage terminated after nisun, meaning that this Yavama was married to the first brother, let's call him Reuven, and with a full marriage, meaning they went through kedushin, they went through nisun. And obviously, this discussion is going to revolve around where Reuven and Shimon were kohanim, obviously. So now Reuven and this woman were fully married. So that means this woman, under Reuven's care, is allowed to eat truma. Now Reuven dies, and now she goes to Shimon, and Shimon doesn't do the bona fide bia with her, but does one of the bia gruas, one of the inferior bias that are described in the Mishnah. But okay, according to everyone, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel, she's allowed to eat truma. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Because she was eating before, meaning we're not going through a major transition over here. She was already eating truma before her husband died, and now the second husband picks her up through the mitzvah of Yibum. Even with an inferior bia, she's still allowed to eat truma. Keep ligi mina erusin. The entire debate between Rav and Shmuel is only when the first marriage terminated at the point of erusin. Like we said yesterday, but let's review. By erusin, a kohen is married to a woman, and they enter into the first stage of marriage, the erusin stage of marriage. Is she a kinyan? Is she now his acquisition? The answer is sure she is. Right? Right? The isha niknes be gimel dvarim. Right? She's certainly a kinyan. However, a she cannot eat truma midrabanan until the point of actual nisuin. For simple reasons, the She doesn't live with him yet. So imagine that the Kohen, her husband, gives her some truma. She's not living with him. So what is she going to do with the truma? She'll eat it, which is fine. But then she'll give it to her family members. She'll give it to, you know, all of her parents or her siblings. So in other words, so until the point of Nisuin, Midrabanan, she's not allowed to eat truma. Okay, so can we make it just a little bit simpler? She can't eat truma until Nisuin. So if that's true, so now the Gemara says, now we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Ochalas Daha Rabbi Rachman Abi Ashoge Kemezid. So Rav says, okay, so even though the first marriage had terminated with Erisin, and even though she never was able to eat truma, but still, Rav says, look, the Torah says that when you do the mitzvah of Yibum, even one of these inferior types of Bia is considered Bia. So if it's Bia Lagabe, all the halachas of Yibum, so it's Bia Lagabe, every other aspect of marriage as well. Meaning, for Yibum, we have expanded the definition of what Bia is. So once we've done that, so then as long as any Bia is done, any Bia that was described back in the Mishnah, so she's married. That's Rav's position. So Bia Shoge Kemezu, Shmuel Amar Ki Rabbi Rachman Lo Kume Bemakom Baal. Lumi Bebaal Lo. And Shmuel's position is no. The Bia Grua, what all the Bia Grua will do was it will take the second brother, Shimon, and make him a replacement of the first brother. And that's it. But what Bia Grua cannot do is make Shimon's position stronger than Reuven's position once was. Reuven, if all they went through was Erisin, Reuven did not have the ability to give her truma. And now Reuven dies. And now Shimon does Bia Grua. Bia Grua can only make Shimon as great as Reuven was. But it cannot enhance his position. Good. V'azer Shmuel Tamei, and the Gemara points out, Shmuel is consistent. Da'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman, your quotes are Shmuel. Kol she'abal machl, yava machl. V'chol she'en abal machl, yava meina machl. Good. Just simply another way of restating the position that the Yavam cannot be greater than the original husband. Again, not to be taken out of context, in context, meaning that when the Yavam does the Bia Grua, so his position cannot be any greater than that of the original husband. If the Yavam does the Bia Gemura, so then obviously he becomes the full husband of the Yavama. Okay, Meisvei. This is exactly the point we got to yesterday. Good, so we've reset the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not a Bia Grua is the full kinyan or a partial kinyan. Rav says it's a full kinyan, Shmuel says it's a partial kinyan, but again, in this first version, we are seriously qualifying this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. They're only debating when the first marriage terminated with Erisin. If the first marriage terminated with Nisuin, then there is no debate between Rav and Shmuel. Fine. On this, the Gemara Meisvei, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, which seemingly will be a problem for Shmuel. The Braisa reads as follows. Okay, we have an engagement. No, it's not an engagement. Erisin is more than engagement. Erisin is the first stage of marriage. V'as Yisrael Pikacha, she has her full faculty. She's mentally sound. And as is he, the husband, who happens to be a Kohen. V'lo Hispik L'kon Sa'ashin Ischarish. And unfortunately, from the point of Erisin to the point of Nisuin, so he becomes a Cheresh, she becomes a deaf mute. The general assumption of the Gemara is that when someone becomes a deaf mute, so that's it, he does not have Da'as anymore. Eino Ocheles. So at that point in time, she no longer is able to eat truma. I mean, no longer able to. She never was, because they only went through the stage of Erisin. But let's say she, even though he's a cherish, she says, okay, but you know what? We're going to go through with the marriage. I'm going to marry him anyway. And the marriage is consummated. Still, she cannot eat truma. Meis v'nafal lifnei yavam cherish. Let's say the husband dies and she falls in front of her yavam, who also happens to be cherish, so I guess we could say that this is a family issue, a genetic, maybe a genetic issue, either way. So ocheles. When the yavam does bia with her, she can eat truma. Uvazu, and listen carefully, yafakoach ha-yavam, ikoach ha-baal. The yavam has more koach than that of the baal. The husband was never in a position to be able to give her truma, to feed her truma, because prior to the Nisuin, he becomes a cheresh, but nevertheless, if he dies and the yavam picks her up and does bia with her, even though it's a bia grua, still the yavam has now acquired her fully as a wife, and therefore because the yavam is a kohen, as was his brother, that makes perfect sense. So now she's allowed to eat truma. So what just happened over here in this braisa? What happened is pretty clear. that the Yavam has more power than the original husband, even though all the Yavam did with her was to be a grua. Bisham l'Rav Nicha, so the Gemara now knows, according to Rav, perfect. Literally perfect. That's exactly what Rav's point was, is that the Yavam can sometimes have greater power than that of the original husband. El l'Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, it is difficult. Amr l'chashmuel, emahachi. So now, what the Gemara is going to do is trying to defend the position of Shmuel. It's going to do a little bit of editing with this Braisa. We're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa. Otherwise, Braisa really does stand against the position of Shmuel. Below his big lakonsa ashin is charish, eno chalz b'chuma. Okay, so again, let's start back from the beginning of the Braisa. Braisa is dealing with a case where he and her were both mentally sound. He was a Kohen, she was let's call her Bas Yisrael. And they get married. And after, and I say marriage, I mean Erison. And at the point of Erison, because both of them had their mental faculties, Erison is 100% bona fide Erison. And then, lo hispik lekonsa, achin is charesh. And then he becomes a charesh and ochel's betruma. So now at this point in time, she cannot eat truma. Kanas, v'acharkach nischaresh ochelas. But let's say, first they go through nisuin, and then he becomes a charesh. So she can eat truma, and she can continue to eat truma. Because at the point of Nisuin, he was a pikeach. Good. Meis v'nafla lifnei yavam. Now, if he dies and she falls in front of her yavam, cheresh, who also happens to be a cheresh, ocheles. So then she's allowed to eat. So, but what Shmuel's doing to this braisa is really inserting another case into the braisa. It's a lot of editing, I know. But inserting another case into the Braisa, meaning that when the Braisa says that the Yavam enables her to eat, it's talking about a scenario where, not the scenario where he becomes a Cheresh before the Nisuin, but rather we're talking about the scenario where he becomes a Cheresh after the Nisuin.
The Yavam really didn't do much.
Yet. So what's the Braisa teaching us? And, the Gemara is going to pick up on another point, and that is, what is that last line of the Braisa? Umay bazu. And what does the Braisa mean when it says Brazu? Because what was the last line of the Braisa? Here's a case where the Yavam's power is greater than the original husband. What? The original husband, when he married her, was a Pikech, not a Cheresh. So how is the Yavam's power any greater than the original husband when the original husband gave her Truma, enabled her to eat Truma, but did so because when he married her, he was a Pikech, not a Cheresh. So what does it mean, Bazu?
Can affect Yibum?
Yeah, sure, because again, for Yibum, you don't need Kavana. You don't need, right?
Well, you need some kind of...
Okay, right. That goes back to a discussion we had between Rashi and Tosos earlier. Well, again, what we're dealing with is a Braisa, and so he's not changing the Braisa, he's reinterpreting the Braisa.
Editing? No, I'm right in general. Are they able to do that?
If it goes against a Mishnah, for sure. Here it's not going against the Mishnah, it's going against his position.
Maybe he had a different version.
Could be. At this point, we're speculating. I don't know. The question is valid. It's a sound question. But, okay, just so I'm going to minimize the amount of Chiddush being said over here, let's just simply say he's reinterpreting. Okay, and not changing. Okay, but now we're just getting into semantics. Okay, ve'ilu baal. I'm sorry. So again, let's go back. So what is the Braisa when it says the word bazu? Meaning, what is the Braisa describing that his power, the Yavam, is greater than that of the original husband? According to Shmuel, it's not true. Doesn't seem that way. The ilu baal cheresh miikara lo acheles. Ve'ilu Yavam cheresh miikara achla. So the Gemara says no. You know what? The bazu actually makes sense. Because think about it. What happened with the husband? Let's go to the original husband, Reuven. So he marries her, but he did so not after he was a Cheresh, but before he was a Cheresh. Okay. So in other words, the marriage really started 100%. In other words, the Kedushin was done while he was a Pikach, and the Nisuin was done when he was a Pikach. And then afterwards he becomes a Cheresh. And just because he becomes a Cheresh does not disable her ability to eat Truma. Good. Now let's turn to the Yavam. How is the Yavam starting off this marriage now? The Yavam starting off the marriage as a Cheresh. In that regard, that's exactly what the Braisa means. If the husband, the original husband, were to start off the marriage as a Cheresh, then her ability to eat truma would never get off the ground. The Yavam, even though he's starting the marriage as a cheresh, still he enables her to eat truma. Good. In that regard, the Yavam's ability is greater than the original husband.
But are you going with Shmuel's Braisa or is it with the...
No, this is how Shmuel would read the Braisa.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's exactly the point. This would be the Chiddush at the end of the Braisa. Okay. Good. Adkan, that takes us now to the first version. So again, Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. A man does be a grua. The Yavam does be a grua to his Yavama. So he's Kona. That's clear. That's what the Mishnah says. Full Kenyan or partial Kenyan? That's now open for discussion. Rav says partial Kenyan. Sorry. Rav says full Kenyan. Shmuel says partial Kenyan. So the first way we went through the discussion was we qualified by saying that they're only debating when the first marriage is coming off Erisin, but not Nisuin. Now we're going to have version number two. Igadam Rimin Erisin.
Comparing apple and oranges. And now one is a regular Nisuin, and the other one is Yibum, where being a Chedesh doesn't matter.
Right, correct.
So
all right, understood. So, right, it's been diluted. The Chiddush has been diluted for according to Shmuel. The Igadami Mineris and Divrako Lo Achla, the Halo Achla, Bechayeba. Now, in version number two, we're going to qualify, but we're going to go the other direction. If the first marriage terminated from Erisin, from the point of Erisin, which means that she never ate Truma, and now she's transitioning from her original husband, where she never ate Truma, to the Yavam. But remember now the cases where the Avam did a Bia Grua. He did an inferior Bia. So there now we're all in agreement. She's not going to be able to eat Truma. She never ate Truma. And the second husband, the Avam, didn't do a full Bia with her.
You so with
in the Gemara, in the second version now, we're all in agreement. And the Gemara's argument over here, a really simple one, because she never ate. So if she never ate, so she does not have any continuity of eating, and the Yavam didn't do a full bia with her, not making her her full wife, and so therefore, it's true vis-a-vis the halachas of Yibum, okay, Yibum has been accomplished. But to say that they're fully married, we're all going to agree that that's not the case. I'm sorry, lo achla b'chayba. Ki pligim in nisuin. The only debate over here between Rav and Shmuel is where the first marriage terminated from nisuin. Rav Amar Chalas da hava achla mikara. So Rav's position is she was eating truma from her first husband, and now the first husband died, and even though the second husband, the Yavam, only did a biagru with her, but hamshacha, it's a continuity. She ate, she'll continue eating. Ushmul Amarino Chalas ki Rav Amar Chalas biyashogi kemezil advar mamor beparsha aval chol mili lo. And Shmuel's position is no. Biagrua is a bia, but limited only for those things related to the mitzvah of Yibum. But it doesn't make them fully married with all rights and privileges of a full marriage. So the Gemara says, okay, but now just it doesn't fit in with Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says, anytime the husband can enable a wife to eat truma, the Yavam can do so as well. So the Amos, so the Gemara says, okay, so reinterpret. And the reinterpretation goes like this. The focus for Shmuel is not on the husband, it's on the type of bia. If it's the type of bia where the original husband can enable to eat truma, so the same thing is true with the Yavam. If it's the type of bia where the original husband cannot enable to eat truma, neither can the Yavam as well. Meisve. And let's do the Brisa now a second time. So here we go. I know it sounds like deja vu. It is deja vu because we're looking at the same exact price that we did previously, but now in version number two. Remember, when it comes to the first marriage terminating from Erisin, no disagreement. Everyone agrees. The bia grua done by the Yavam cannot do anything. Cannot enable her. Okay, misspoke. Cannot enable her to eat truma. The only debate now between Rav and Shmuel is when we're coming off, or her original marriage is coming off of Nisuin. Now look at the Braisa. The Braisa describes where she was a Pikachas, she has Erisin with the Kohen as a Pikach, below he speak Lekon Sashin is Charesh, and he becomes a Charesh before Nisuin. Eino Cheles. So she cannot eat Truma. Meis v'naflu lefnei Yavam Charesh. Now he dies. Now the woman falls in front of her Yavam who's a Charesh. and he does bia. Now, obviously, bia by definition with him is going to be a grua. Nevertheless, ocheles, she is allowed to eat. Uvazu yafakoch yava mikoch baal, and her ability, sorry, his ability, the yavam's ability, is stronger than that of the original husband. Bisham alarav mitaritz kiditaritz mikara. So according to Rav, perfect. Meaning, what's Rav's position? Rav's position is, it's the same. It's the same price.
Same price, yeah, same thing. So why
is it? Because this is an ikadami. We're going over the same discussion, but in a different version. This is 2.0, if you will.
Same case.
Of course, it's the same case. No, but the difference is where the starting point. Meaning the starting point, when the Gemara said ikadami, that we're coming off of Erisin, there's no machlokas. Coming off of Nasuin, there's a machlokas. Masha'inkin, in the first version, coming off of Erisin, machlokas. Coming off of Nasuin, no machlokas. That's the starting point is where it's different. So Bisham, L'Rav, Mitaris, Kizitaris, Mikaris. So according to Rav, perfect. Meaning we're going to say, like we said earlier, that according to Rav, again, in our second version, for coming off of Erisin, she doesn't get to eat. Coming off of Nisuin, she gets to eat, according to Rav. El Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, it is difficult, because according to Shmuel...
Even after longer.
Right, correct. Shmuel's of the position that she's never going to eat, not from Erisin, not from Nisuin. The Brisa over here is describing a scenario where she does get to eat after, right, when moving to the Avam. According to Shmuel, there's no such case. Kasha. The Gemara says, okay. Right, end of discussion. That is in fact difficult. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Bas Yisrael pikach shenisas lekohen pikach v'lo yispich lekohen sas shenischarish eina ocheles. Okay, so we're going to deal with the brice, and the brice over here should sound familiar. It's exactly what we just described. She was a pikachas at the point of Eris, and the kohen was a pikach, and then unfortunately before Nisuin took place, so he becomes a cheresh. Okay, and so she is never going to be able to eat because the Nisuin was not done with his das. She goes through with the marriage anyway, which it's obviously up to her. She can do so. They're married already. So in other words, it's just simply going to the second stage of marriage. That can happen even though
But his
bia
is not
kona. His bia is not kona her. He was already kona her. In other words, they went through Erisim while he was a pikeach. And now just simply go to the second stage, transition to the second stage. Certainly could do that, but he cannot enable her to eat truma. But here's now where it gets interesting. I mean, it already is. But here's where it gets interesting. Nola la ben ocheles. Now, if she has a son, let's think about this. Dad is a Kohen. Now, dad cannot enable her to eat truma because he does not have his mental faculties. Having gone into the Nisuin without da'as, he cannot enable her to eat truma. But then they have a child. The child has no blemish whatsoever. Meaning, and just because dad is a cheresh doesn't mean that the child has any less status of Kohen. And now what the son did is it gave her another avenue in which to eat truma. She can eat truma now, not as a result of her husband, but as a result of her son. Okay. Now, Meis HaBen. Okay, now we're gonna advance the discussion one step further. So now let's say Rachman Litzlan, the child dies. So now, can she continue eating truma? So in other words, it's so interesting. I understand the tragedy, but let's just deal with the clinical discussion of whether she can or cannot eat truma. So in other words, originally she couldn't because her husband was a cheresh at the time of Nisuin. So he was not an enabler to allow her to eat truma. Fine. Then she had a child. The child was enabling her to eat truma. Then the child dies.
Doesn't matter what it is.
So, no. Then the child... No. I see what you're saying. Okay. Fair question, but I'll ignore it. Not because... Just simply, let's just keep it simple. So now the child enabled her to eat truma. So now that the child enabled her to eat truma, the child dies, so she did get a kickstart, so to say, in terms of eating truma. She's still currently married to a Kohen. Granted, the Kohen was not in a position to enable her to eat truma, but... She got truma. She got the ability to eat truma. So can at least the husband perpetuate her ability to eat truma? can't start her ability to eat truma, but can at least her husband have the ability to perpetuate? So that's the question. Rabbi Nassan Omer Achaz v'chachamim Omerim Eino Ochela. So we have a debate amongst the Tanayim. Rabbi Nassan says yes, the Chachamim say no. My time is the Rabbi Nassan. So let's try to understand Rabbi Nassan. So the Amoraim are now going to try to present an argument for Rabbi Nassan. So number one, argument number one of the Gemara is going to have two. Amar Rabba Hol Shekvar Achla. So Rabba gives an argument which at face value seems to be really simplistic. And the Gemara is going to comment on that. That's not me editorializing. The Gemara is going to comment. And that is Rabba's explanation as well. She ate already. Meaning, with the son she was eating. Now the son died, but she was eating. So let her continue. I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Amalei Abaya Lamiata Basisol Shenisa Sekonu Mislo Secho Shekvar Achla. So Abaya says to Rabba, I don't understand that argument. It seems overly simplistic. In fact, you can't use that argument anytime you want. Well, she wants to eat truma, so therefore let her continue. Abaye says to his Rebbe, I don't understand. Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen. The Kohen dies. Right. So what do you want to tell me? Well, she was eating truma, so let her continue eating truma. It doesn't work that way. A woman's right to eat truma, unless she's the daughter of a Kohen, terminates once she no longer has a husband. So you can't just simply say, well, she once was eating truma. Allah came into Mislay, Paka Le Kedusha Semina. Once a husband dies, that's it. Her Kedusha's gone.
Unless you have children.
Agree, but that's... I understand, but just the argument of, well, she was once eating, it's not a good argument. So Hachanami came into Mislay, Paka Kedusha Semina. So here too, her ability to eat truma was predicated on her son. Her son died. That's it. She loses her right to eat truma. So Rava's argument, At its face value, doesn't make sense. Abaye calls it into question. The Gemara now is going to move on to a different way to present Rabbi Nassan's position. So again, let's review. We're dealing with a case where, at the point of Kedushin, he was a Pikeach. Then he turns into a Cherish, and they go through Nisuin anyway. But because at the point of Nisuin, he didn't have Das, he was not enabling her to eat Truma. Then they have a child. The child does enable her to eat Truma because the child is a 100% bona fide Kohen. And enabling her to eat truma. Then the child dies. So, we look back now to the husband. We turn back to the husband. He can't have started her eating truma, but can he continue her ability to eat truma? And Rabbi Nassan says yes. And the only thing we're left trying to figure out is why. Good. El Amar Rav Yosef.
When you say a child, it could be a girl also?
Yeah. So, El Amar Rav Yosef, because Rabbi Nassan... I'm pretty sure. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. Elam Rav Yosef Kasa Rabbi Nassan is doing cherish ma'achilim b'truma. So Rav Yosef now is going to offer another suggestion, and that is what we walked into this with an assumption, and that is that because the nesuin that occurred between she and her husband was done while he was a cherish, so therefore she has no right to eat truma. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that's not how Rabbi Nassan views it. Nistui cherish ma'achilim b'truma. V'lo gazrin nistui cherish atu kiddushe cherish. Really, the truth of the matter is that the nistuin done with the cherish does enable her to eat truma. And what are you worried about? Xero? Well, if nistui cherish allows her to eat truma, well, then maybe kiddushe cherish will allow it as well. Now, think about it. Kiddushe cherish for sure will not enable her to eat truma. Why? Because Kedusha Cheresh, Kedusha needs Das. Absolutely. And if the Kohen does Kedushin with a woman and he lacks the Das, so by definition, the Kedushin does not work on a Daraisa level. Okay? Maybe on some Darabana level, but not on a Daraisa level. For sure, in such a scenario, she will not be able to eat Truma. Fine. But if the Kedushin was done while he was a Pikeach, and now we move to a year later, where, again, back in the good old days, a year separated the Kedushin and Nisuin. And by the time they got to Nisuin, he's a Cheresh. And she says, okay, but it's okay, I'm ready to go into the marriage, and she goes through with it anyway. And even though he's a Cheresh, so Rav Yosef says in explanation, Rabbi Nassan, you know what Rav Nassan's of the opinion? You know what his position is? That Nisuin is a 100% valid Nisuin, totally enabling her to eat Shuma. Okay? Amarle Abaye. So now Abaye says, okay, let's think about this answer. If Rav Yosef is right in his explanation of Abaye, so what's the obvious question? That's the obvious question. That's the obvious question. So, I'm sorry, Lamali. So then what are we doing waiting for a son? Should come out now that if the Nisui Cherish is 100% bona fide, so that means that her ability to eat Truma starts immediately, prior to the having of a child. And the way the Bryce is formulated, it sounds like we needed that child for her to eat Truma. So Mishum Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, if you're asking Rabbi Nassan, you don't need a child. Why did the Bryce introduce a child into the discussion? Because of the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Nassan. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, so why did Rabbi Nassan wait so long to open his mouth in the Braisa? Meaning, it comes out now that really there's a much more fundamental debate in the Braisa. Nisui Cherish, good or no good? Can she eat Truma? So the Chachamim say no. It's at that moment in time Rabbi Nassan should say, before the child is introduced into the discussion, I disagree. Nisui Cherish is a Nisuin and does allow her to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Shavakul Rabbanan de Masamim Mosayu, Vahada Palagalayu. So the Gemara says, well, you know what Rabbi Nassan was doing? Being considerate, polite. We find this, we recently had this as well, where you wait for your bar plukta, the one you're arguing with, to make his point and to finish his point. And let him say everything. And then, afterwards, what you could do is you can just simply say, I disagree. In this particular case, what is Rabbi Nassan saying? All right, I'll wait, I'm polite, I'm nice. Oh, you're finished? I disagree with everything you just said. All right, I couldn't disagree with you more. Meaning, the child isn't necessary. Right? The child unable to eat Truma, now the child's dead, and you're asking whether or not she can continue eating Truma. Rabbi Nassan, now after the Chacham and finished their point, Rabbi Nassan says, you know what I believe? You're wrong. Not only, but you're fundamentally wrong. You're wrong about the child, but the truth of the matter is you're even wrong before that point in time. You're wrong regarding whether or not she can't eat Truma after Nisui Cherish. Rabbi Nassan says, I believe she can. She can eat Truma even after Nisui Cherish. So the Gemara just simply is bothered by the way the Braisa ended its formulation. So why not, if Rabbi Nassan was waiting till the very end, so why not have first the Chachamim state their position, and then Rabbi Nassan state his position? Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, that last point is a little bit of a sticking point, meaning it should have been that first the Chachamim presented their viewpoint, and then Rabbi Nassan at the very tail end should have presented his viewpoint. The Gemara says that part is a little bit difficult. So that's exactly Rabbi Nassan's point, as understood by Rav Yosef. You don't. Good. And then what are the Chachamim going to counter? They're going to counter that to eat Truma is a right and a privilege that needs some sort of das. But that's exactly the point of Rabbi Nassan, as understood by Rav Yosef. You don't need das. Once the kedushin's done with das, the two of you are married. And as soon as just as simply a second stage that doesn't necessarily require das.
If this coin is a pork, right, and somebody gives him everything, can everything eat?
A very, very good question. We're going to get to that momentarily. Okay, that's excellent.
But the coin himself, who is a cherish, he can continue eating.
Yeah, in other words, right, correct. He has right. There'll be Tum and Tahara issues. In other words, he has to remain in a state of Tahara, and because he doesn't have das, that's going to be difficult. But others, right, we had it elsewhere. Right now, it's a little bit of a fog, but we had it elsewhere where other people are going to help them with the Shmir's Tahara so that they can eat the Truma.
He went to Blagazin and Nisui Cherish after Kiddusha. Kiddusha means everything.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So on Isurim
we go with Rav. On Rav and Shmuel, by Isurim we go with Rav, and by Mamanos we go with Shmuel. So this is, it's a little combo, because on one hand it talks about her monetary rights as a wife, but it also deals with Truma. Truma is really a Savata. Tuma Tahara. I'm starting to look at it. So again, so His ability to do chalitz is going to be compromised because of his lack of das. But again, though, for the mitzvah of yibam, you don't need das. I'm saying it simply, but I'm saying like Rashi in the beginning of the parak. So I feel pretty comfortable saying it. But you don't need das by the mitzvah of yibam. So the cheresh can do yibam without das. I mean, it seems pretty clear from our discussion over here.
Mamar?
Yeah. Shit's preferred to do mamar, but you don't have to. Okay. Let's go on. Bottom of Nun Vavam and Alf, Echina Ba'achas, Mikol Arayas, Amar Rav Amram, Amil Samar Alan Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said the following, Va'anharinu Le'enenim Emasnisen. And he enlightened us with a Mishnah, meaning it seems like a Mishnah says the same thing. Okay, the next Amar of Gemara that we're about to go through is nothing short of tragic, meaning that generally speaking, Dar Chedor Chenom, the Torah's ways are very pleasant. And generally speaking, the Torah does not, never, the halacha never results in tragedies, and this is just but one of those very few examples in the Torah where, you know, for no fault of her own, so the woman is going to have to get a divorce from her husband. I'm not, you know, now it's not a time to philosophize, as I never do anyway, so why start now? But I guess I mean you could also put moms there in the category of things that a person had no responsibility for, and yet, you know, for the rest of his life he's going to be branded and labeled because of an action of his parents. Understood. But here just an admission, going into the discussion, admitting that this is just it's difficult to understand, and we could put it under the category of a tragedy. Okay, with that stated, let's go. What was the statement again? Moshesha says, I made a statement. So, I'm sorry, Rav Amram said, I was told a statement by Rav Sheshes, and I believe I can find sources for it in our Mishnah. So first things first, what did Rav Sheshes say? So, Eishes, he saw top of Nunvavam and base. Eishes, he saw Shanan, Saf, Apishim, Atersa, Balap, Sulakuna. If you have an Eishes, he saw who was raped. And even though she's still permitted to her husband, because that's not adultery, obviously, it's rape, it's below, it's was against her will, Zones. So she will still be permitted to her husband, but she cannot marry a Kohen. That means, obviously, that if she was divorced, so that's nothing to talk about. So she's disqualified to Kuna. But let's say her husband died, and now she is an Almana, she's a widow, which in that of itself does not prohibit her to a Kohen, but because she was raped previously, so therefore she cannot marry a Kohen. Okay. Now, why should that be? So, if you take a look at Rashi, not yet. I'm sorry. Let's wait in terms of explanation of why. Tanatuna, but the Gemara says, but that was a statement of Rav Sheshes, and now the Gemara says, I believe we can find a source for this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah speaks to this as well. So if somebody has relations with any of the arais mentioned in the Torah, or psulos. Now, my vechein, it's that bridge of vechein. Vechein means, and similarly. What is that going on? My love, lo shnam b'shogeg, v'lo shnam b'mezid. V'lo shnam b'onis, v'lo shnam b'ratzon. Look, the Mishnah gave a number of different types of bia, as described in our Mishnah. One of them was onis, where a woman was forced. V'katani pasla. And yet, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that even though she was me'anest, nevertheless, she is disqualified. Now, who is she disqualified to? Presumably, she's disqualified to a Kohen. So again, there were a lot of assumptions that we just made. But assuming that the Vechein in our Mishnah is describing, and similarly, if any of these types of bia is done to a woman, so psulo, she becomes disqualified. So we're assuming that any of these types of bias include ones, and it's assuming then that if a woman was anessa, if she was raped, so she becomes pasul, and obviously when we say pasul, it means to whom? Not to a Yisrael, it means to a Kohen.
Even if her current husband is a Kohen?
If her current husband is a Kohen, so that just enhances the tragedy. Now she's going to have to divorce her husband. But it means that even if her current husband is the Yisrael, it means that for the future, she can't marry a Kohen. So my vechein. So I'm sorry, lo. So the Gemara says no. That's a lot of assumptions, and the Gemara says it's not necessarily so. It's talking about v'chein a ha'ara. So it's talking about the partial be'ed described in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, well, if the partial be'ed is talking about the arayos, so the Gemara says, well, then I don't understand. Where is the source of ha'ara in the Torah? We just did this a couple days ago in the Daf. Arayos. Arayos is a source. So Adrabba Yavami Alfinama Arayos. Deka Ara by Arayos Ksiv. So then the Mishnah is really turned on its head. Because the Mishnah is saying, well, just like we have Ara by Yibum, so too we're going to have it by Arayos as well. What? No. It's the other way around. Meaning the source of Ha'ara is actually mentioned in Arayos. And just like we learned it by Arayos, so too we're going to learn it by Yibum. So Elamai V'chein Ashlo Kedarka. The Arayos. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the V'chein is going on the Bia described in the Mishnah Shloka Darka. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, Iker Mishkeve Isha by Arayos Ksiv. Once again, the Gemara says, I understand, Bia Shloka Darka, where's the source of that in the Torah? Once again, the source of that is Arayos. So if the source of that is Arayos, so how should the Mishnah go? Just like Bia Shloka Darka is Bia by Arayos, so too it's Bia by Yibam as well. Again, the Mishnah is reversing the order of what's primary, what's secondary. Primary is Arayos. Secondary, as far as Bia Shloka Darka is concerned, is Yibam. Yibam is being learnt from Arayos. So, Elamai V'chein, Ashloka Darka, D'chayv Elavin. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what the V'chein is going on? It's going on Bia Shloka Darka as it applies to Chayv Elavin. Okay. So, and if that's true, which is extraordinarily limited, but doesn't matter. If that's true, so then we don't have a solid source of Rav Sheshis' halacha from the Mishnah. Meaning we're not saying Rav Sheshis is wrong. All we're saying at this point in time is that there's nothing in our Mishnah that would 100% validate the statement that Rav Sheshis is making. Okay. I'm Rav Sheshis Konshinen Sabala Loka Allah Mishum Zona. So Rava is going to go over a very similar halacha. Not the same halacha as Rav Sheshis, but similar. A Ashes Cohen that is experienced Anusa. Again, she's Nana. She was raped. So, Bala Loke Alaha. So, her husband cannot be with her anymore. Her husband, the Cohen. And again, a divorce must take place between her, between him and her. And again, I totally understood. Just showing a little bit of self-awareness, obviously. It's a tragedy. But the Gemara over here now talks about what if the Cohen, her husband, refuses to divorce her and still engages in relations with her. So he's going to get Malkus. And for what of air, meaning what does she qualify as? So loka Allah mishum zona. So she's a zona. Now I know, okay, I'm not. The Torah says that a Kohen cannot be with a zona. She now qualifies as a zona. Now I know, I'm showing awareness of the fact that it's very difficult for us to process and to understand how this woman could be described as a zona. Zona usually is a term that's described for a woman who behaves in a loose fashion. And she herself opens up the door to be with other men. And over here, she was an anusa. She was raped. So the idea of referring to her as a zona, I know, is strange. Okay, but in other words, it's a status. And her status is that she now has the status of a zona. Well, I mean, what he needs to do at this point in time is he needs to divorce her. That's the right thing to do. Okay? And if he doesn't divorce her and he stays with her and he remains with her, and the two witnesses saying, you know, she's his owner now. It's unfortunate, but that's what she is. And you can't stay with her. And if he ignores the warning, so he's subject to lashes.
And then what happens after lashes?
Well, hopefully what happens is he's going to get the point. In other words, the message will be received that he can't be with his wife. And if he continues, so with every warning that he receives, he's going to continue getting lashes. Okay. Mishum zona in mishum tumalo. So the Gemara says now the Gemara here. It's a very technical Gemara, but there are actually two isurim that are involved in this relationship. There's one referred to as zona. She has the status of a zona, and a kohen cannot be with a zona. And also, there's another lav. Where's that other? Where's that other lav? A lav will describe as being tuma. Rashi over here points out what is the Gemara making reference to? Mishum tumalo. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here reminds us of a Gemara that we saw much earlier in the Masechta, all the way back to Daf Yad Alf Amid Beis. How many Mekai Macharei Asher Hutamah L'Rabba Sotash Nevalah D'Chsev Lo Yuchal Ba'alah. We know that when a woman commits adultery, and I know, I know, it's very strange over here to describe her as having committed adultery, because again, she was raped. But still, in terms of a status, Asher Hutamah. So that it's right, it's in context, this pasuk is actually talking about Master Gushoso. But remember the Gemara earlier, at least according to one opinion, takes it out of context and applies it to a woman who committed adultery. So over here, there's another lav as well. So Ema Af Misham Zona. So the Gemara says, fine, for the Kohen to remain with his wife, so actually there are two lavim that he violates by being his wife. One is that she has the status of Zona, and so therefore subject to Malkus for that. And number two, Asher Utama. So, and the second set of Malkus as well. The Gemara notes the question that Rabbi Zera asks is not on the conclusion that she is prohibited to her husband the Kohen. That's clear. What the Gemara now is going to challenge is the Malkus. When do you receive Malkus? Only when it's a negative prohibition. The Bryce over here says it's not a negative prohibition. It's a prohibition generated by a positive commandment. What does the Torah say? V'hilon is pasa. This is talking about a sota. When the Torah says that a woman who committed adultery is prohibited to her husband, in a case where the Torah describes, she was not violated. She wasn't raped. Ha nispasa, but if she was raped, muteris. Now, the Gemara is focusing in, zooming in on the word v'hi lo nispasa. And she was not raped. What does the word he mean? It always means this case is where she would be permitted to her husband. There'd be a corollary case where she would be prohibited. What's the corollary case? The Yeshacha Cher Shafa Pishin is Pasastor of Azaz is Ashes Cohen. That's a reference to an Ashes Cohen. Where even though she was raped, she's going to be prohibited to her husband. But what bothers the Gemara, it's an extraordinarily technical problem, but it's still an issue in that it's not a love. It's an assay. It's a negative prohibition generated from the positive commandment. So the Gemara gives an explanation. The explanation goes like this. When a woman has an extramarital relations, her default setting is she's a zona. It's not that we look at how did that extramarital relations occur? With a willingness or without a willingness. The default setting is when a woman has relations outside of her marriage, she's a zona. Now, after that, for Eishes Yisrael, then you make a decision based on whether she was willing or whether she was forced. If she was willing, so then she's a zona. And she's a surah. If she was forced, so then you change the setting to that of a muteris labala. Say, the Torah is matir. But now if it's Eishes Kohen, it's not, right, it's not a lava ba mechlala say. Because again, the extramarital relations immediately brands the zona. And then with the Eishes Kohen, kedekai mekaima. She stays, she remains in the status of being a zona. That's one way to explain it. Igadar me'amar rav Eishes Kohen shenasa ba'ala loka ala mishum tumah. The Gemara is going to give a slightly different version of this discussion. Here, the starting point is the husband, the Kohen husband who stays with his wife is going to be a subject to lashes because of Tumah. Mishum Tumah Imi, Mishum Zona Lo. And now, in the second version, what happened? She's also a Zona. Alma Ba'onis Lo Karina Be Zona. Sounds like she's not described as a Zona. The Eishes Kohen. Mace of Rav Zera, now the Gemara is going to quote the Brisa. V'hilon is Pasa, Asura, and is Pasa Muteris, V'ishlecha Acheres, Shaf HaBishin is Pasa, Asura, V'ezuzu, Eishes Kohen, V'lava Ba Mechlal Se'asei. Okay, from this Brisa, it sounds like the Eishes Kohen is going to be labeled and branded. So Amarav, I'll call you Bechlal Acheres, Sher Tomak, Shepar Lecha, Kasav Gab Eishes Yisrael, V'hilon is Pasa, Asura, and is Pasa Muteris, Machal De Eishes Kohen, Kedekai Mekaima. And again, the Gemara says, it's the same exact point, but instead of using the terminology of Zona, we're going to use the terminology of Tuma. But it's the same exact point. Any woman who engages in an extramarital relations is going to be branded immediately as Asher Hutama. She's defiled. Now, for Eishes Yisrael, now it depends. Willing, Tuma label stays. Forced, Tuma label is removed. Eishes Kohen, it stays. And unfortunately, it does not matter in what way she committed the act of relations outside of the marriage. The Tuma label stays. In other words, I would assume the answer is no. Okay, let's just quickly wrap it up and we'll conclude for today and we'll pick it up tomorrow straight from the Mishnah. Okay, so today's discussion was, number one, we had two big discussions over the course of today. First big discussion today was a question of a bia gerua, the inferior bia that's described in our Mishnah, that the Yavam is having with the Yavama. Creates a kinyan, that's what the Mishnah says, a full kinyan or a partial kinyan. So that turned into a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And two versions of that machlokas is that, whether that machlokas is talking about Erisin or whether the machlokas is talking about a post-Erisin Yibum or a post-Nisuin Yibum. Then the Gemara's next big discussion today was Chuppas Cheresh. Is Chuppas Cheresh valid or invalid? So that also turns into another major machlokas amongst the Tanaim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Nachman. And the last discussion that we had today was the tragedy of an Eishes Kohen who was ne'anas, who was raped. So she is prohibited to her husband, and then just to add a little bit of insult to injury, not only she also to her husband, but her status is that of either a Zona or that of a Asher Hutama. But in other words, if the husband remains with her, so he shouldn't, meaning he has to divorce her, but if he remains with her, he's going to be subject for Malkos for either violating the Surim of Zona or Tumah.